That's what it's all about. You know that, right? That's what tonight's all about. The world is looking. Every family is hoping. Is there a miracle for you? God did a miracle. It's God and sinners reconciled. That's what Christmas is all about. You talk about a miracle. God brought us back to himself. A baby wrapped in a blanket. And I brought my blanket. I'm not Linus in the Charlie Brown story, but here's my blanket. Not just a baby wrapped in a blanket in a manger. No, not just a baby. More than that, God wrapped up in a blanket. God, yes, I'm telling you, it was God. Could it be that God himself could take on skin and bones? Some people in the world tonight look at this as the most ridiculous thing they've ever heard. It takes a lot of faith to believe that there's a God who could actually come to this earth and put on skin. Takes a lot of faith. Could it be? I suppose if a giant explosion, a Big Bang Theory, could create life, then honestly, this night is really easy for me to believe in. If all of this could be random. The Creator becoming the created. The Comforter becoming the comforted. The King becoming the commoner. The High and Lofty One becomes the Low and Humble One. The One that's out there has become the One that's in here. That's what tonight's all about. It's about a light. It's about a light that's inside of me. What changes someone? What can change a man to have a different life when he's not even looking for it? It's a warmth that you feel in your heart. It's a light that pierces the darkness. Does it feel like Christmas? I don't know. What do you need for Christmas? Oftentimes people need incentives, right? Our family's getting together. My son's flown in. And for me, I'm like, oh, I'm in such a mood. My family's going to be together this weekend. What do you need to get in the mood? What do you need for Christmas spirit tonight? Do you need children doing Charlie Brown? Do you need Luke chapter 2? For unto you is born on this day in the city of David. What do you need? Do you need to watch It's a Wonderful Life? Do you need to watch Elf? I'm sorry, do you need to watch A Christmas Story for 24 hours? What do you need to get you in the mood? Do you need 6 inches of snow? God bless you. Today, if you look in the media in the malls, if you look at the hustle and the bustle, it may seem like Christmas has nothing to do with Christ at all. I read someone punched a security guard at a store. They punched him in the face because they thought he was a customer skipping into the front of the line. He was just walking to the door to start his shift. At an Urban Outfitters at 4:30 in the morning, when there was this shriek of all these shoppers, there's a shriek in the girls section. All 8 guys that were standing heard this shriek. They ran over to watch these 2 teenage girls going at it over a dress. No one was stopping them. In fact, the phones were out recording it. And then this little Asian girl slowly reached up, grabbed the dress while the 2 girls were fighting. She calmly went to buy it while these 2 girls fought over it. At Best Buy, an employee, his first Black Friday, saw 2 elderly ladies get into a fist fight over a $9.99 scanner. The one lady had an amazing right cross. At Walmart, a fight broke out over a bike. A little bicycle at Walmart. Fists were thrown. There was some blood. Eventually, one guy got a hold of it. He managed to get away from the crowd. He rode the bike out of the store, fleeing his pursuers without paying for the bike. An elderly woman stole an ice cream maker out of a man in a wheelchair's electric handicap cart. Let me say that again. In case you... Yes! What? An elderly woman stole an ice cream maker out of a man's wheelchair electric handicap cart. He got a security guard, and she flat out denied it, saying this man was using his handicap as a crutch to embarrass her. And finally, two women were tossing clothes back and forth at each other, to each other. This little teenager intercepted a pair of jeans that were being tossed, and the women went insane, and one of them elbowed her in the face. And the little girl was shocked because blood began to squirt out of her nose. She just stood there shaking and crying, and the one woman acted like it was perfectly reasonable to do so and refused to apologize. Sometimes it doesn't look like Christmas. Sometimes it doesn't look like Christmas at all. And you say, what has the world come to? It's Christmas. Where's the love? Do you know that it's not new? Do you know that William Bradford, one of the early governors in the United States before the states became states in the 1600s, outlawed Christmas? For 22 years, you would be fined 5 shillings if you celebrated in any way, put up a tree, said Merry Christmas, or did anything that looked like you were celebrating Christmas. 22 years in Boston and in Massachusetts, it was against the law to celebrate Christmas. Why? Because it had become such a drunken party that it didn't look like it. And the Puritans were so shocked at what had happened. And there was a thing called, here we come, here we come. You know, I looked that up. Wassailing. I looked up the word wassailing. Wassailing's delicious. Wassailing's a thing. Here we come a wassailing among the leaves so green. Here we come. And I'm looking this up. You know what wassailing was? That poor people, it was the only time of the year during Christmas, they would go a wassailing. And they would show up in the rich neighborhoods, and they would knock on your door. And if you didn't let them in, and it was that people would leave their houses and just leave them unlocked because they'd be ransacked, broken into. And if you didn't leave the doors open, they broke the windows. If you didn't let them in, they came back and they assaulted you. And it was the time when the poor came and took all the food that was in your house, and they ate the food, and they took whatever they wanted. This was what, here we come, oh, wassailing. I'm going, I don't want to sing that song. They outlawed it because this is what it had come to. And so they outlawed it until an incredible play made its way from overseas to America, A Christmas Carol. And it began to change the attitude of people of Christmas past, present, and future. All of a sudden, maybe there was something we could do to change, and it changed America and the way we celebrate Christmas. But sometimes you go to the stores, and I drove out today. I went to Kroger's. I went up on the north end. I mean, people drove like crazy. They were driving. I mean, there was no such thing as middle turn lanes. There was no such thing as yield. There was no such thing as, hey, you go first. I thought, these are all the people that are shopping those last minute things. I'm glad I'm done. I'm glad I'm just out grabbing a few things for our clam chowder that I'm going to have here in just a few moments. I'm so glad I don't have. How crazy has it gotten? And then people in Minnesota go into the mall in a protest to shut down the mall keepers. And then they went to the airport in Minnesota to shut it down to protest. And they interviewed the lady, don't you think this is dangerous? Don't you think people are trying to get places? We don't care. Now that I care, my son's flying into Minneapolis to catch a connecting flight. What's wrong with people? He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, well, they were singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came somehow or other. It just came all the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, he stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. And the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means something more? And there's a blanket. And there's a blanket. And there's a blanket in the middle of the dark, in the middle of the chaos. And trust me, it was chaotic in that Bethlehem night. It was chaotic because it was the Feast of Trumpets. It's the only time the pagans were invited with the Jews. It was the only time they could celebrate, and it was wild. And the government said, what a good time to collect taxes. Let's have a census. Everybody go to their hometown, and there's parties everywhere. And there was no room in the inn. There was no room anywhere. The streets were packed. And in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the darkness, a light was wrapped in a blanket. A blanket. Have you got a blanket tonight to wrap the warmth of God? A blanket of all things. Miracles intersect with us every day. Miracles are crossroads, and in the middle of time, BC and AD are split in half. God and man become one, and they call him Emmanuel. God is with us. And in a blanket, God intersects mankind. For thousands of years, we heard that God loved us, but the killing and the slaughter and the people and the countries and Babylon and the Assyrians and Israel and the pagans and the Jews and everyone, they're just killing each other. And in the middle of all this, God intersects. God intersects. Love is poured out in a blanket on Christmas. And then he's hung on the first Christmas tree 33 years later. And love was born in a blanket and hung on a tree. Have you got your blanket? Have you got your tree? God expressed his love and he showed up. Calvary was the first tree, and Christmas was the first gift, wrapped up neatly in a blanket, still waiting for you and I to open it up and take it home. Folks, tonight, at Christmas time, men and women everywhere are gathering in churches. True story about a blanket just like this. I went to the Goodwill and I found this today. There was nobody in the Goodwill today, which I found ironic. At Christmas time, men and women gather in their churches to wonder anew at the greatest miracle the world has ever known. But the best story is this story of all. It happened to a pastor who was very young and his church was very old. Once long ago, this church had flourished. You know the kind of church, you know, with the steeple and the stained glass window, but you walk in and there's nobody there. And the bricks are falling off and the paint is peeling inside. And the pastor's young, and he's going to tackle the world. He's going to change that church. He doesn't care how old it is, how dying it is. He's young and dumb enough to even try. Now, the good old days had passed from this section of town. It was a rough part of town. But the pastor and his young wife believed in their rundown church. They felt that with a little bit of paint, a hammer, and faith, they could get it into shape. Together, they went to work. However, late December, a severe storm whipped through that little river valley, and it just hit that church. A huge chunk of rain soaked the back wall right behind the pulpit, and a giant piece of that wall collapsed and fell in on Christmas Eve day. The pastor ran to the Goodwill, and he bought a blanket, a big blanket. And he bought it for just a few dollars, and he hung that blanket over that opening. He thought, okay, we're ready for Christmas Eve, whoever shows up. As he's getting ready, he walked out to the front porch doors of the church. As he opened it up, he noticed on the street a lady standing in the snow in the cold. She was elderly, much, much older than him. The years had gone by, and she was slumped over with a cane. And he said, ma'am, what are you doing? Can I help you? She says, I'm waiting for a bus. He said, there's not going to be a bus here for at least a half an hour. Would you come in and get warmed? And she came in and she sat down. And as she sat down to get warm, she took her hands. You know how you do that when you want to get warm. And she kind of did this. And she sat down. He went to work cleaning. And she sat in that old, old pew. And she looked up for the first time. And all of a sudden, she got excited. She walked up. She stood up. And she walked up to the stage, and she walked up to the blanket that was covering the hole in the wall, and she felt it with her old hands, and she lifted up one corner, and she looked at the initials, and she said, that's my blanket. That's mine. That's my tablecloth. I made that. And the young pastor looked at her, excuse me? And she showed him the initials, and she told the most incredible story. She said, I'm from Vienna. I made that. I haven't seen. Where did you get this? And he told the story. And he said, what do you mean you made this? She said, back in Vienna during World War II when the Germans were attacking and the Third Reich, she said, we had to abandon our house, and the only thing I took was this blank that I made. My husband, we couldn't go together, and they said, he put me on a train and said, I'll see you again. My husband, he died in the war in a concentration camp. I haven't seen. He said, ma'am, and he went to take it down. He said, would you like that blanket? See, miracles happen on Christmas. It's what we're all looking for. And she said, oh, I can't take that blanket. You keep it, Pastor. He said, what can I do? Let me give you a ride home. That's the least I can do. So he got in his car and he took her a couple of miles away. And he returned later on that afternoon for the evening service. As people, a few people came in, it was a scattering. And he got up to begin preaching. And he got done and an old man got up. And he walked up to the pastor after and said, that was a great service, Pastor. Where did you get that blanket? And he said, why? He said, I know it's strange and it's probably not so, but years ago, I'm from Vienna, and my wife and I were separated during the war, and she made one just like that. Would you like to go for a ride? They went for a ride that night. And the story is, after 50 years, he found his wife. Christmas is about miracles. In the cold, there was a blanket. And that blanket said, a long time ago when I was a little boy, I used to know that Jesus. That was a long time ago. He and I went our own ways. I got on a train, and I went and I did my own thing. I'm like that prodigal son. I'm that daughter that ran away from home. And you've come here to church tonight. Can I tell you, there's a blanket. And you might recognize it from your childhood when you said, I remember. Can we go for a ride tonight? Can I introduce you back to the Savior of the world? His name is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Emmanuel. God is with us again. And he placed in that manger the greatest gift of all, the first Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. I'll tell you why the world is gathering together. And for some, it's only the only time they come is Christmas Eve. It's because they're still looking for a miracle. I know you're looking for a miracle for you. So many of you are looking for that. God help me. Can I tell you, God wants to help you? God wants to do things in your life and change things and change your family. I will tell you this, here at Grace Ministry, January 3rd to January 24th, my wife and I and anyone that will join us, we are going to set aside food that we normally understand, and for 24 hours a day, I'm going to think, why am I not eating? Oh, that's right. God, I want a miracle. For my children, for your children. For my neighbors and your neighbors. For my mom and dad and your mom and dad. Because there's a miracle. It's Christmas. I want to close this way. We have an opportunity to share one of the greatest gifts that God has. It is communion. Communion is Jesus took a cup and he said, this is my cup. This is my cup and I take it. Because my blood is going to be shed on that Christmas tree. I'm going to pour out the most beautiful red that you've ever known in your life. My blood for your blood. My goodness for your sin. I'm going to trade you. I'll tell you what, you talk about a white elephant trade. Jesus took heaven in a box and said, I'll trade you. And he said, what do I have? I have my sin. I have me. And Jesus said, I'll trade you. You don't want this. And Jesus says, oh, I want it. I want all of it. And wrapped in a gift. God gives us salvation. He says, this is my blood. Take and drink. For every time you take and drink this, you proclaim my death and you proclaim my resurrection. I'm alive, and so will you. And he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this bread is my body, which is about to be broken for you. And he was about to go for the next couple of days and have his body so broken that no human can understand. And he did it voluntarily. And he said, this is my body. Take and eat. And every time you do this, you proclaim my death, my healing for your brokenness. I'll trade you. And so tonight, we're going to share that. I'm going to ask my leaders if they'll come up.